Here in 1 Peter, the apostle had been writing to tell his believing brothers and sisters some things they needed to know about their daily Christian walk. It was important for them to know these things because, we discussed this on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, these people in 1 Peter were suffering for their faith. They were facing persecution, they were facing hardship for their faith in Christ. And they needed to be encouraged and to be reminded of the resources that were theirs, even in Christ. And in this morning's passage, Peter presents a very important concept here in these verses we've read together. It's a concept that has to do with the very foundation of the Christian life. Not only for those who of us as individual believers, but also as a community of believers, as a congregation, those who are joined together in his name. And to present this concept, Peter speaks in the language of an architect or a builder. And he makes the use of the idea of a cornerstone. I read there in verse 4, "To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." In our day, when a building has a cornerstone, it's usually only something symbolic. It's a ceremonial stone, something that's inscribed or bearing the name on a plaque, or, and we have some out here in a church foyer of maybe the minister who was in the charge of the church when the building was built, or the moderator of the presbytery came along and laid that stone as the foundations were dug. It's something ceremonial. It doesn't really have any importance to the building beyond that. It has no importance to the structure of the building. It's rather just something to be remembered, something we can look back on and say, so-and-so was here, it was presented to the Lord on that day, and so forth. But in ancient times, a cornerstone was the most important stone of the building. When builders would begin laying the bricks for a building, they would carefully select one stone, a stone that they had carefully worked and prepared, and that would hold a strategic place in the construction of the foundation. It was so important, the most important part of the building. And all the other stones would be put in reference to it. They'd be set up against it. It was the first one laid. It was the most important. It would be the stone that joined the beginning walls into a solid corner. It would thus be the stone that determined the position, the structure, and the stability of the whole building. The very first thing that a wise builder does would be to select, prepare, and place the cornerstone. And so it is in modern building. The foundation is the most important part of the building. If the foundation's wrong, well, the rest of the building will not be secure. Cracks will appear, and you're in danger of the building collapsing. And this illustrates a great spiritual lesson even to us this morning. It makes us ask that question: what is the cornerstone of my life? What is the beginning point upon which the whole of my life is constructed? What is the starting point? What is the starting point for your life this morning? What is your hope built on? What is the foundation of your life built on this morning? Many people choose such things as science or human reasoning to build their life upon as the beginning point of their life. Others look to spirituality or religion or the teaching of various human philosophies. Some seek to build their lives on such noble things as service to others, or some humanitarianism or charity, or maybe the pursuit of social justice. We see that so much even in today's society. It's all about social justice. Others seek to build their lives on things like materialism, success, reputation, or power. Others seek to build their lives on being healthy, having good health, or maybe want to build their lives in the pursuit of pleasure. But very few people in this world stop to consider what they've used as their cornerstone, what it is they've built their lives upon. And many just keep building without any thought of the foundation. They just build and build and build and build without realizing that the foundation is going to fall, that they're going to be disappointed in the end. What about you this morning? Are you built on Christ, the solid rock? What is your life built on this morning? Is it good works? Maybe coming to this church, you think, well, I go to Londonderry, Free Presbyterian Church. I go to a church that preaches the gospel. I go to a church that believes in God's word. I go to a church that stands for truth and righteousness, that's against abortion, that's against same-sex marriage. And I go to this church, and that's enough. Sadly, this morning, if that's what your hope is built on, that's sinking sand. Yes, those things are good and right and proper, but only if the foundation, only if the cornerstone is Christ Jesus. In the Bible, we're told there only is one reliable cornerstone. And God has made us to build our lives in the way that He has ordained. Not the way we decide, not the way the world decides, but the way that God has ordained. And there is no other way but by Christ Jesus. And He has appointed the proper stone for us to use. You may have noticed the Apostle Peter made reference in this passage we've read together to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. And God tells us about this promised stone. The promised stone. Promised from centuries before He ever came. And Peter quotes, for example, here from Isaiah chapter 28 in this passage we read together. In that passage in Isaiah 28, God spoke to the leaders of the people of Israel who were rejecting Him and His good way for them. They sought to build a life in the way that they chose, even thinking that in defiance to God, they'd made a deal with death and the grave and were thus safe from the consequences of their choice. We read in Isaiah 28 and 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Does not sound so much like the world today. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on Him shall not make haste." The Israelites thought they had made their own arrangements. They had made their own ways. But the Lord said, "I have laid in Zion a foundation stone. It's by Him and Him alone." It's God who lays the true cornerstone of life, not man. Nothing we can do, nothing of ourselves, nothing of our own abilities can lay that cornerstone. It's Christ. It's Christ alone. No other stone can be trusted than the one that He has laid. And that stone that God has laid is truly reliable this morning. No one will be disappointed who builds upon Christ. You think of across the border in Donegal. I'm sure you've heard of all the homes over there that were built using faulty material. I think it's a mineral called mica or mica. And it causes too much water in the rocks or allows the water to come into the blocks and causes them to crumble. And there are thousands of homes built in Donegal and they can't be lived in. They're cracking, they're crumbling, they're falling down, they're a danger to live in, and the people have had to move out. And many people's lives are like that this morning. They're building their homes or their lives like those homes on things that are crumbling, on things that are cracking, and things that are falling down all around them. But here, God promises that those who build their lives upon Christ can be sure that He is reliable. He is sure. He is certain. He will not fail. Your life will not crumble when it's built upon Christ. You can be certain. Here God give this prophecy to the Old Testament, the Israelites in the Old Testament, but he was rejected. The Messiah was rejected. But that makes no difference. Even today people reject Him. But still that makes no difference. He's God's appointed stone. Men may reject it, but God exalts Him and declares Him declares his value, as Psalm 118 and verse 23. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord's doing. He's lifted up the Messiah. He's lifted up Christ as our Redeemer, as the cornerstone. And it is because it is the stone that God himself establishes that those who seek to build their lives upon some other stone in rebellion against his way for them, in the end will be disappointed. You will be disappointed. If you build your life on something else, you will be disappointed. Oh, you might think there's pleasure in this world, and yes, the Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. It's for a season. And then we're told the wages of sin, the wages of that pleasure, what you've earned because of that pleasure of sin, is death. You will be disappointed. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 12, the prophet was spoken to God, and he said to the people of Israel, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy? Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a sign and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken." We see that today. The gospel is a stumbling, it's a cause of offense to many. They hear this, the rock Christ, Jesus, they hear Christ preach, they hear the gospel preached, rather than being the cornerstone in which they build their life. It's like a stone that's been like a rocky path that you trip over. An offense, it's in their way. The gospel is in their way. They don't want to hear it. It's offensive to them. Causes them to stumble in a sense. Stops them from doing from what they want to do. How they want to live. Did you notice here in this Old Testament passage of Isaiah, the stone is clearly declared to be a person, the Lord. The Lord, who is a sanctuary to God's people, is also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Oh yes, you can go and talk about religion to people. You can talk about church to people. But when you talk about Christ, he is an offense to them. No one wants to hear Christ crucified preached any longer. What is your cornerstone this morning? Let me ask you that. What are you building your life upon? Is it Christ? Or is he an offense to you? Is he a stumbling block to you? This is a very important question to the people to whom Peter was writing. They'd chosen to build their lives upon Christ. They were built upon the sure foundation, but now they were suffering horrible persecution because of that. Unbelieving people hated the divinely appointed cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they hated his people, the building upon which they were built. And that's the same today. People still hate Christ. People still hate his message. People still hate his people. But Peter writes to these dear saints, this suffering church. He writes to them to assure them, you've not chosen wrongly. Rather, you've made the wisest choice possible. They had not allowed God to draw them together to Christ, to be built together upon him as a holy temple for his use, to be disappointed. No, they would never be disappointed. Never disappointed. So let's consider this morning the cornerstone. The cornerstone. I want to leave with you three thoughts about this cornerstone. Notice from verse 4, firstly, the description of the stone. Peter writes, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Think for a moment about that remarkable phrase, a living stone. We notice that the stone is a hymn. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus, the one whom Peter refers to in verse 3 when he said, "We have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So this stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, if you said to someone in the meeting, "You're like a stone," well, you wouldn't take it as a compliment. We often say someone, or they're as dead as a stone. It doesn't impress life upon us. It doesn't impress vitality. Rather, we think of it being as death. But here the Lord is presented to us as a living stone, a living stone. But what does that mean? Well, we think of what a stone is. A stone is something which is solid, something which is unmovable. It's strong, it's reliable. It's something that does not change. And Peter would know something or two about that. Remember, Peter's name, Petra, means rock, small stone. And the Lord Jesus told Peter that on his profession of faith, remember, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ said to him, "Peter, thou art Peter, and on this rock, rather on this confession thou hast made that I am the Son of God, that I will build my church." So Peter knew something about the terminology. He knew something about what he is speaking about here, about the stone, the rock. But the word that Peter uses in our passage is a different word that describes a rock-solid stone that has been worked, that has been prepared, that has been beautified for a special use. And what a picture of the Lord Jesus that is. He is God's appointed. He is God's specially prepared stone. And he will not change with the times. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him. He'll not fail us. He's safe, he's sure. He's Christ, the solid rock. But he's also living. He's a living stone. Well, first of all, he's living because he's a person. He never changes, but he himself is a compassionate person who loves those who come to him. And because he is a person, he is personal. And we can have that personal saving relationship with him, with this living stone. He was dead, but now he's alive. He's risen from the grave. And because of his resurrection, because he is a truly living stone, he's also able to give life to those who come to him in faith. To all who put their trust in him, he's able to transform their lives from that sinking sand to that solid rock. And when he walked upon this earth, he came as the cornerstone that God had promised in the Old Testament. But those to whom he came rejected him. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They didn't want him. Sadly today, many still don't want him. Many still reject him. Many scoff at the idea of tearing down their old ungodly foundations and building their lives on him instead. We think of the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And sadly today, many are still building their lives upon that sand. And that is so foolish. If you've been on your holidays at all, I'm sure the children have built sandcastles on the sand. And yes, they look lovely and you can build a great sandcastle. It could last for hours, but what happens when the tide comes in? What happens when the waves beat upon that sandcastle? No matter how good it's been built, how big, how strong it looks, the waves will wash it away. And so it is for those who have built their life upon that sand. When the wrath of God comes upon you on the day of judgment, unless you're found in Christ, well, you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed in a lost sinner's hell. All those things that you've been building your life upon, all those things you've been trusting in, will be simply washed away like a wave washing away the sand castle. You need to be built upon Christ. Nothing changes from God's perspective. Christ Jesus is still the cornerstone that is chosen by God. And he's precious. He's precious to those who have believed upon him. What a wonderful living stone he is. He is the only one upon which one can build their lives with confidence. I hope you have built your life on him this morning. That's the description of the stone. Notice secondly the construction upon the stone. The construction upon the stone. Peter began in verse 4 by saying that we're coming to Jesus as to a living stone. And that word coming is put in the present tense of the verb. And I'm not big in English grammar. But it means that we're not only coming continually to him, but that others are coming also to him. Remember what he said to Peter? That I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And more are coming to him each and every day. Continually coming. And in coming to this living stone, Peter writes, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Notice what Peter says here that we are individually like Jesus, living stones. We are living stones. And being united to him, we are made alive with him. But in this case, we're not stones like he is. We're not like that foundational cornerstone. Rather, we who are saved are like the bricks. Just as that cornerstone is placed in the corner of the building upon the foundation, those of us who are saved are like the bricks that come, the builder puts one by one on top of another. And every time somebody trusts Christ, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented by God's grace into that building. Oh, the whole building is not one person by itself. It's not me and my own. It's not you and your own. But we're merely the stones from which the building is made. And we come together one by one. We're set in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. We're built to him. He is our centerpiece. He has the preeminence in the building. And we're built together into him. We're not just built into any old building. We're built into something special, something holy here. We're built into a spiritual house, we're told in verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. You think of that. We're built into a spiritual house, not a house made of hands, as was the temple in the Old Testament. But this is a building that's built and formed by the Holy Spirit. It's made without hands, and it's spiritual because it's not for earthly purposes. Dear child of God, we're not saved for earthly purposes. We're not to lay up treasure on earth. We're to lay up treasure in heaven. We're built for spiritual purposes. The church of God, the bride of Christ, the people of Christ, we're built for spiritual purposes. And the world, they can't understand. The world can't relate to it. They don't understand. They don't understand God's people. They don't understand why we are the way we are. It's because we're different. Because we are set apart. He goes on to say, we're lively stones that come to Jesus. We're built together as the building material for a spiritual temple, and that we're a holy priesthood. Holy. We're set apart. We're not a people who live like the world. We are to be different. We're holy. A holy priesthood. In other words, we're there to serve. The priests of the Old Testament, they served in the temple. And so as New Testament saints, we have that priesthood of all believers, and we serve the Lord in his house, in this temple. We are the bricks of this building. This building's been built together, a spiritual building. We're part of it. We serve in it together. We're privileged to do this together is what the Lord makes us to do. He tells us we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 5. These aren't the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the slain animals, but rather these are the sacrifices of praise, the sacrifices of thanks to God, of doing good, of sharing in acts of service to him, both to one another and to others in need. What a wonderful thing. You think of that. What a wonderful thing it is to be made into. What a wonderful thing the church is. What a wonderful thing the bride of Christ is. A spiritual temple to the living God that's composed of living stones who are holy priests making sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Christ, our cornerstone. I hope you've noticed something here about what a Christian is to be. What we are to be like as Christians. Turn back to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Think of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what Peter is speaking of here in these verses. As Christians, we are to be different. We are the bride of Christ. We are this spiritual temple. We are serving as a priesthood in the temple. We're servants. We're servants. We are to be set apart. We are to be so different from this world that we stand out like a sore thumb. Sadly, that's not the case anymore. Sadly, a Christian can blend into the world and they wouldn't know we're there. We could attend things of the things that are ungodly and we'll just blend in. Just blend it. We don't stand out like we're meant to. As living stones, as a holy priesthood, as people who are sanctified and are set apart unto God for his holy purposes. We are to be servants. We're joined together to one another into this holy temple, united and properly built on Christ, the cornerstone. No one is truly built upon this temple, upon Christ, on their own. Not individuals, not freestanding, not one brick temples, but rather we're joined together, we're united as the bride of Christ. You know, we have differences with many people from other denominations and things we don't agree with and things we must stand against, things we must speak out against. But you know, there'll be a day coming when the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, in the end times, when we'll face that tribulation, where I believe there will be a greater coming together, just as Peter speaks of here, as a spiritual building, coming together in Christ, as servants of Christ, standing for Christ in this world. We will be so different when those times come, when true tribulation and persecution comes, the wheat, the chaff will be separated. Those who are false professors, well, they'll be showing up for what they are. And the true wheat, the true sheep of Christ, will come together and they will stand out like a sore thumb. We will have to take a stand. But we're one together in Christ. Christ is our cornerstone. Notice something else here about this. Peter's writing in part to encourage them not to give up being united together and to stay true to their connection to the cornerstone. So he reminds them of the things that were written in the Old Testament scriptures. So let's look in closing to the implication of this stone. The implication of this stone. What results from this stone? Well, the scriptures tell us that the stone is the only one laid by God. Peter quoted the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, in which he says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." It is God himself that lays it. There's no other than the one that is laid. Yes, the world seeks in vain for another. The world seeks for something different. And people build in vain on anything else but Christ. But as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, "For no other foundation, no man laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And we need to remind people that there is no other way, for there's neither salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is an exclusive stone. An exclusive stone. There are no alternatives. There are no other ways. The gospel is an exclusive religion. All other religions are false. No matter what the world may say, no matter what other churches may preach, all other religions are false. They're of the devil. The gospel, Christianity, true biblical Christianity, is an exclusive religion. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Something else here, Peter reminds us that this stone is reliable. Reliable to those that believe. Jesus is, as the scriptures say, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He's elect because he is the only one that God has chosen. And he's precious because he has done the job. He cried, "It is finished." His work, his sacrifice was sufficient. It was complete. Therefore, he is precious to those who have believed. Scripture says, "He that believeth in him shall not be confounded, and shall not be ashamed, shall not be disappointed on that day." Our cornerstone will not lead to us being at a loss. Others on that day will hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. He is the only rock of salvation. He is the true, elect, precious cornerstone from God, and he will never lead to disappointment for his people. Think of Paul, that great apostle, sitting in a prison cell for preaching the gospel, facing execution, he is able to write in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, "For the which cause also I have suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." As Peter goes on to say, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." And Christ is precious to us this morning who have believed. He is our precious cornerstone. Another implication here, notice that this cornerstone was rejected by the builders. The builders mentioned here were the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jewish people. And when their God-appointed cornerstone came to them, they didn't want him. The Old Testament scriptures spoke of him, prophesied of him, but yet when he came, they didn't want him. They disallowed him, the Bible tells us here. It means rejected him. And yet the same, the one they rejected, is made the head of the corner. Think of the words of Christ to the Pharisees in Matthew 21. He said, "Did ye never read in the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures?" These Pharisees who knew the scriptures off by heart, he says, "Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, which is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes." Remember, that's from Isaiah. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." He's speaking of the Gentiles, of us being brought in to that bride, that church. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." When we fall upon Christ in that sense, we're broken. We come in a repentant heart. We come, we're broken in our sin. We fall upon him and we're forgiven. We're set free. We're redeemed. But on whosoever it shall fall, in other words, on whom Christ shall fall in wrath, it shall be ground to powder. Well, you can't stand in the judgment. You'll be put out into hell. You'll be lost forever. Notice another implication of the stone. It has been exalted in God's purpose. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And this was publicly declared to the world when God raised Christ from the dead on the third day. And now the whole world can see this Jesus who was rejected, who was crucified by men, by his own, is indeed the cornerstone from God. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are all builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit." What a wonderful picture of the bride, of us, children of God, being brought together into this holy temple, built upon our wonderful cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. One final implication of this stone. The scriptures declare that this God-exalted cornerstone is now judging the hearts of all men. And he's judging you this morning. All men are determined by what they will do of him. Remember, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who do not believe. What will your response be to him this morning? Will you come to him? Will you fall at his feet for mercy? Or will you be, as Christ spoke in Matthew 7, like the wise man and the foolish man? "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," that's the wise man, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon that cornerstone. And as the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell." And notice these words, "And great was the fall of it." It fell beyond repair. Totally destroyed. Totally ruined. And you who are outside of Christ, on that day of God's wrath, God's judgment, if you're not found in Christ, great will be your fall also. And you'll spend that lost eternity in hell. Oh, let's make sure this morning you believe everything the Scriptures declare about this wonderful God-appointed cornerstone. Make sure your life is built on Him. Not upon the sinking sands of life, but upon Christ, the solid rock. And those of us who believe on Him, let's allow ourselves to be joined together into that holy temple for His worship. Remember, no one who builds upon Him will be disappointed. May God write His word upon our hearts this morning.